My father was an abusive father.
A fear that I'd never known before. Drafted in the 10th round of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
On the floor, in tears.
When she was born, there was an absence of the typical joy.
God, why have you given this circumstance to Jenna?
Every life is a gift. But you know that this world is not going to be kind to her. Life has got to be crazy fun, and we have crazy fun together. I can't stand it when people say, oh, you're so lucky. You have great kids. You're so lucky. You have a guy that loves you. I'm like, are you kidding me? Luck has nothing to do with it. And I can't tell you how many times I was in tears, grieving, and thinking, Lord, what are we doing? We have walked through sexual abuse, challenged pregnancies, a child that's created uniquely. We had a daughter that was challenged mentally, socially. We had financial hardship. We've had a hard marriage. We have fought.
Man, there was really no recipe for us other than in humility and obedience, trust and depend on God's word.
We live in a broken world, and we are not going to come out of it unscathed. We are gonna go through hard times. And you know what? We serve a God that is faithful and that will walk with us through anything.
I grew up in a home that was had a strong emphasis on moral purity and responsibility with a limited involvement in a faith, pretty much a performance-based home. Thus I learned how to, affirmation of others through athletics. I was a very gifted athlete. My love was football and baseball, and I ended up playing down at the University of Texas. My sophomore year, I had surgery on an ankle that was fractured about 6 or 7 months earlier. While in that hospital, waking up from the anesthesia, I remember the foot throbbing, and with that throb came a fear and anxiety over me, the fear that I'd never known before. The fear was that my identity and self-worth was gone because I was now at the bottom of the depth charts. God showed me over a few days that my entire identity and self-worth was in football. I was as happy as I was good as an athlete. And when you take that away, a depression crept in and other things that really turned me to really think about who I was as a man and think, is life really this fragile? That joy can only be found in that which I may want, whether it's football or wealth or whatever it may be. And realized that I really had invested in something that was really shaky. God caught my heart my sophomore year, and that's when I really made Christ my Lord. As it turned out, I got to start for 2 years, played a lot of football the last 2 years, and then drafted in the 10th round of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers were really a very tight group and a team that knew how to work hard for what they had achieved, and they had achieved 4 Super Bowls at that time. For whatever reason, in my second year there, I had an ankle injury that ended up ending that career. And while it was very hurtful and took a long time to adjust to life outside of football, man, I am thankful for the days I got to play there and of course, the University of Texas.
I was raised in the church. And both my parents professing believers, but as I grew up, realizing a lot of confusion in what was taught and what was lived. My father was an abusive father. It was physical and sexual. It was a secret and never told anybody. After I got married, all those emotions that I had stuffed away, that I thought were, safely tucked away, began to come to the surface. And the first Father's Day after we were married is really a turning point. Found myself on the floor in tears and Kirk asking me questions because I wasn't going to fake it anymore. And I couldn't find a card that said, Happy Father's Day, you're a wonderful father. He just asked me questions and God gave him the insight to keep pushing and keep asking and describing, and all I could do was shake my head yes. I couldn't say the words because it was too painful and it was too much shame. And so once that finally came out, we began the healing process, but it was a long process of healing. We confronted my dad early on, and because there were other kids in his life and we were concerned about them, and that didn't go well, and began to go to counseling, and eventually got to that place where I felt like I had forgiven him. I have been forgiven much from a heavenly father, a perfect, holy God. How can I withhold forgiveness even from my father? So when we came together, we both looked at each other and were like, I don't know how we're going to go forward having kids. Blake's our oldest, and he's 28.
Yeah, introvert, and behind him, though, was an intense competitor.
And he's married about a year and a half now. We call him the Renaissance man.
A heart that would step in front of a car for you.
Intelligent reader. Loves maps and travel and history and music.
I'm the oldest, Jen is number two, and I was probably a year and a half older than her. I mean, has there ever been a time where I've kind of gone, you know, God, why have you given this circumstance to Jenna? Not really. He knows just how he wants to make her and how he wants to make me, and he did it exactly for a specific reason. Jenna was always somebody I looked up to.
I remember when she was born, there was an absence of the typical joy that was there when Blake was born. I remember looking up and seeing the eyes above the mask flash at one another as the nurses in the room flashed and the doctor looked over. They take her over and begin to clean her up. I'm still watching the whispering of the nurses. All I recall is asking if I could see her at some point. And Blake was a very long, symmetrical baby and over 10 pounds at birth. And so now I'm looking at Jenna, which was very different.
After she was born, of course, I didn't know any of this, and Kirk and his mom and dad and Blake all left and went to dinner that night. And she was in the room with me, and I was on the phone with a family member. And the pediatrician poked her head in the door and said, we suspect some form of dwarfism, and I've ordered x-rays for the baby, and the nurses will be by to pick her up in a little bit. Bye. And she left. And I was postpartum by myself. Obviously, a little heaviness for the child that you thought you were going to have. And the implications for the child that you do have. And there's joy because every life is a gift. But you know that this world is not going to be kind to her.
I want to say within 48 to 72 hours, I had moved to a place to say, Lord, I don't have to understand what you're doing, but I trust you. You gave us her as a gift, and you thought enough of her of us to trust this little girl and what the road looks like for her and the pain that may be there with us.
Lord, please don't let this be. I see it. There's reality that I see it, but don't let this be. But in the same breath, let your will be done. And help us to be the best parents that we can be for this child and all that she's going to face.
Began to feel more like an honor and a privilege to be trusted with her than it did a burden of how we're going to navigate the pain of the world. By this time, I had relieved the pediatrician of her duties for her lack of sensitivity with my wife, and she literally came in once to tell us, hey, just take her home and love her like you would any other baby. And man, I thought, that's so inappropriate. We learned a valuable lesson in that we will never go into a couple that's had a baby or anything with a struggle and try to give them advice. We found out that what we needed as a couple was empathy. We'd much rather, as Paul would say, learn to cry with those that cry and weep and laugh with those that we wanted someone by our bedside. That man looked at us with those heavy eyes and held our hands and said, man, I'm really sorry. But God is good and God's sufficient. Man, that was encouraging.
I remember a good friend at that point in our lives made a comment that, hey, I'm going to be praying for her identity in Christ. And I was like, wow.
Jenna has got an extremely high relational IQ and emotional IQ, knows her way around people very well, can pick up on a room and the personalities in the room and know how to work and very agile socially and emotionally.
She's 26 and very creative, fashion, social media, writing.
She's a great balance of sensitivity, compassion, and courage.
Has a deep, abiding love for Jesus.
I am the women's director for a ministry called K-Life. I counsel and recruit college leaders to be small group leaders for junior high and high school students. Being born with achondroplasia, dwarfism, had a big part of my story from a young age, kindergarten, first grade, you know, so 5, 6, 7, where people start asking you, you know, why are you small? Okay, I don't know. What is different about me? And so turning to mom and dad and going, hey, what are they talking about? Middle school, it definitely got more challenging the older I got. Yes, there were moments and seasons where I had to admit, hey, this is hard. I doubt God's goodness in this moment. The questions of, okay, why was I born this way? What was God doing? What is their purpose and plan? Early on, there wasn't much that I couldn't do, or there wasn't much that separated me from friends. It wasn't until college and young adult life that things start to sink in, where you're like, okay, I don't feel desired by the world. I don't feel pursued. Something mom and dad reminded me often when I was younger, hey, Jen, you're a walking billboard. You being 4'3" is not normal. And so it does. It begs people to stop and look and stare. It's okay for there to be curiosity, because that just means you have more of an opportunity to talk about the hope that you have, or the joy in which you've experienced in knowing your Savior, knowing your Creator. Psalms 139 talks about you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He's a good, gracious Father that desires to give me good things, says He has a plan for my life, and says that His glory being revealed is more important than our temporary happiness. But I think long term, I have had recent opportunities to speak, taking on some speaking engagements or opportunities, or even writing. I love teaching God's word, just about what does it mean to have your identity in Christ, and what does that look like, growing in who God made you to be, learning to delight in that.
Our doctors told us that it was not, you know, hereditary. It was a brand new mutation.
So y'all are like 1 in 250,000.
I was really anxious to get pregnant again. I wanted to have another baby. This one was a whole nother story. The diagnosis were really bleak.
Really, really tragic.
We were all just in tears.
So your struggle in parenting, your struggle in business, your struggle in marital leadership.
Dad took it hard.
Lord, I hate seeing my dad hurt.
Go from president of a pretty large company down to being nothing.
Are we gonna have to move?
I would have really nothing left.
I don't see the biggest problems being that
Jenna was short and my dad didn't have a job.
Confused as a kid of why she got attention that I did not, and so it was hurtful to my family.
God chose me for whatever reason to grow up in a family with a mom and a dad that loved me and told me that that Jesus is the best way. I'm really thankful for that.
God is love, and love comes from God. In 1 John, the Bible tells us that God is not only all-loving, but that He actually is love itself. The heart of the Parent Compass television show is to bring the transforming love of God to families everywhere. In every Parent Compass episode, true stories reveal family struggles and how their lives were radically changed by the love of God. Parent Compass, an award-winning television series, is completely funded by people like you. If you have been touched by God and you want to share God's love to others, would you please pass it on? Jesus tells us to go into all the world and to tell about Him. With your donation, you allow us to take this television show into many different nations and in many different languages, free of charge. And a portion of your donation goes to Parent Compass Outreach to feed starving children. Your gift does so much. To make your tax-deductible gift, go to parentcompass.tv/donate. That's parentcompass.tv/donate. And thank you for sending love and hope around the world.